Today we are continuing with the book of Romans. We are going through the book of Romans, and I must say it's blessing me so much because God has allowed us to break it into small chunks that we can attend to and, you know what, enjoy, and they're enough for us for that particular day. We're not trying to read a whole book in one service. And you'll see as well, like today, we're just going to do a few verses of chapter 7. Last week, we went up to chapter 7, verse 13. So today, we needed to start from verse 14 until the last verse, which is verse 25. But what I'll do to try and give us the context, I'm just going to go back just a little bit, start from verse 13 again, and then, but I will end off on chapter 8, verse 1. The title today is Worship and Serve God in Spirit. It takes faith, not works, to please God. What we are going to see from this chapter 7, from verse 13 to 25, and chapter 8, verse 1, we will see that it takes faith, not works, to please God. God is spirit. This is what I want to show you today. God is spirit, and he only can be accessed through what is done in the spirit. We cannot serve him by our flesh. People will tell you to work hard, subject your flesh to such hard labor to serve the Lord. But today I want to show you that our labor that comes from the flesh, fortunately, it does not give us access to God and his promises. It's what we do in the spirit, as we are directed by the Spirit of God. We are free from indwelling sin nature. Remember the past 2 weeks we spoke about that. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, it says, our old nature, sin nature, was taken out of us. We are completely free of the sin nature. You must never say that I have God's nature and the devil's nature. It's not true. You have only one nature. God's nature. Your sin nature was taken out. But what has happened while your sin nature was in you? It trained your body to act sinfully. So then your body then developed habits. And that is why then, even though you've taken now the sin nature out of you, your body is going through the habits, the stuff that it used to do. So what you just have to do is, you just have to renew your mind. Make your mind align with your new nature that you have. If you align your mind with your new nature, what's going to happen is you will see the body will learn new habits. And then those new habits will be what God says you have in you. Remember our story of the eagle. There is an eagle inside you. Let the eagle fly. That is what I want to say today. You must let that eagle fly. Don't live like chickens. Live like an eagle. There is an eagle inside you. Let the eagle fly. So don't focus on what you have become accustomed to. Living in a chicken coop. You eat with chicken. You act and behave like chicken. But the fact is you are an eagle. So now what we're trying to do here is, now we're trying to help you to change your mind so that you'll see yourself now as an eagle. And once you start seeing yourself as an eagle, one thing will happen is your ability to fly as an eagle will just kick in and you'll start flying So understand that we are free from indwelling sin nature and we have the Spirit of Jesus. So God accepts us. Bible says when you got born again, the Spirit of Jesus Christ came in to indwell you. We have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living inside us. Can you understand that? The Spirit of Jesus Christ. So I am as acceptable before God as Jesus Christ is acceptable before God. The icky must come out. When we pay attention to who we are, that is in the Spirit, sin loses its grip on our flesh. Pay attention to who you are in the Spirit. Don't pay attention to your behavior. Don't pay attention to what you do. Pay attention to who you are in the Spirit. You will see, because the sin nature has been taken out of you now, what will happen is sin will lose its power over your flesh. My surname is Hadebe. If you come from a Hadebe clan, there is something that they do to you as a child, which is meant to make you very aggressive. If I focus on the fact that when I was small, they burnt that incense and they had me go through that ritual to make me aggressive. If I focus on that, I focus on my behavior, how aggressive I can be, I will be aggressive. But if I take my eyes off that thing that I went through as a Hadebe, what's going to happen is I will see my life change, because I'm not focusing on who I am in the natural. I'm focusing on who I am in the spiritual. And as I focus on the spiritual man, whereas I focus on the eagle that is in me, soon I'll see myself flying like an eagle. So you want to break the power of sin over your life. Take your eyes off everything that you know you've been doing incorrectly. Take your eyes off that. Forget about that. Don't pay attention to it. Start paying attention to who you are in the Spirit. Soon you'll see this eagle leaving the chicken coop. You will stop living like chickens. This is what I want to show you about this part that we're reading through today, Romans chapter 7. Now, just as introduction, I want us to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. The Bible says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole," look at this, "whole spirit, soul, and body." This is one of the verses that give us an understanding that we are actually a three-part being. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. And you know that your soul can be broken down into three major parts as well. You can break it down to your will, your emotions, and what else? And your mind. That is what your soul is made up of. When we got born again, our bodies did not get born again. Our souls did not get born again. Just understand that. The only part of us that got born again was our spirit. Now look at this. You have now two versus one. Your body and your soul versus your spirit. But your spirit is so powerful that it can change your mind, it can change your body as well. But if you do not pay attention to who you are in the spirit, you will always be dominated by your soul and your body. The interesting thing about your body follows whatever the soul says. So then, God says to us in Romans chapter 12 verse 2, He says, renew your mind. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You change your body by renewing your mind. So let's understand this. So how do we then relate to God? We relate to God through the Spirit. And the Spirit can then direct the soul and the body. But God responds to what we do in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Check this out. John chapter 4, verse 24. New King James Version. God is Spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. It does not say that we must worship Him with our souls and with our bodies. Those follow the Spirit. Our focus should be worshiping Him in spirit, understanding that He is Spirit and He deals with our spirits. He works through the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in John chapter 6 verse 63, it says the word of God is spirit. So what God has said here, that is spirit. So God deals with us with our spirits. So when God says we are holy and blameless before Him, He's not talking about our souls and our bodies. He's talking about what? Our spirit. So don't go before God then and try and reason with Him according to your soul or your body. Just go in the spirit and have access to your Father in the spirit. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The word says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Look at that. But what is new? It's not your body. It is not your soul. The thing that is new is your spirit. This is critical for us to understand. Understand this part that God works with us with our spirits. I'm going somewhere with this point. I want you to understand this. So that when I now read Romans chapter 7 from verse 13 to 25, you will understand what is happening there. That part is all about worshiping God. It's not about behavior. It's not about the nature of a person, but it's about worshiping God. That's what I want to endeavor to show you today. But you must understand that your worship should come from the Spirit. You know, people have exaggerated things. They have said, worshipping God in the Spirit is when you cry and you shout and tears run and whatever. No, those are the effects of the Holy Spirit on you as a person. As He comes and as His tangible presence becomes so close, as your mind, you're so aware of Him, He can cause you to go through that. But that's not the Holy Spirit. Don't now say, if I did not cry today, the Holy Spirit was not there. No. Understand how you behaved. Your feelings, they are not at full demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians verse 17, the word says, the old life is gone. And you know, when you look at yourself, you still have the same body. And your body may still have some tendencies to gravitate towards your old behavior. So obviously that body is not new, or that body is not gone. What is gone? It's your old nature. Your spirit, your dead spirit is gone. And when we say dead spirit, we're talking in terms of separation from God. When we say dead, in the word of God, we're talking about separation. So, the word of God here is talking about our spirits. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. So we have a new life where in the spirit. Now it says you have become a new person. God now looks at you with the focus of who you are in the spirit, not in the flesh. In the flesh, you may still be a mess, but before God, you will still be acceptable because of the fact that God looks at you in your spirit. But God then says now, he wants the eagle in you to come out. So what is he going to do? He's going to renew your mind. He will let you know who you are in the spirit. And the more you understand who you are in the spirit, the more your body and your soul, your mind will change. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as Christ is, as he is, so are we in this world. Okay, think about that. Think about that. As he is right now, Christ is seated in heaven, holy, complete, lacking nothing. The Bible says, so are we where? In heaven? No. Here in this world. So the word is not talking about your body. The word is not talking about your soul. It's talking about your spirit. So your spirit is complete. In your spirit, you are complete. Now let me say something that can shock some of you now. Your spirit is not getting better and better. Your spirit does not grow. Okay, let me just help you. Let me just use the scriptures that I've shown you now. Look at this verse now. It says, as Christ is Christ still growing? Or is Christ complete? Christ is complete. The word says, as he is, so are we in this world. So it means we are complete in him. If you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, it says, put on the new nature, which is holy and complete. Let's read that verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, the word says, and that you put on the new man. Okay. Put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. The new man, the new spirit in you. The other word says you have to put on, start wearing your new man. It says this new man was created in true righteousness. So your new man is completely righteous and your new man is completely holy. Your new man is completely holy, just like Jesus Christ is. Perfect. Now what happens is we then receive the word of God. We renew our minds. As we renew our minds, then our minds, our soul is what grows. And it becomes more and more like who we are in the spirit. Our spirit is 100% complete. Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, was he half God when he was a baby? But Jesus Christ, you know, he was brought up like every other child. He had to be taught how to speak. He had to be taught a lot of things like all the other children. Does it mean he was half God? Oh, he was not complete as God. No. Inside him, he came full of the spirit of who he is. But his soul had to be trained. So that is what happens to us. So our spirits are 100% complete. I'll show you more scriptures. 100% complete. The thing that is taking place is the renewal of our souls. We are getting to understand more and more of who we are. And the more we understand of who we are, the more we start acting like that. We need to first understand these truths before we can understand Romans chapter 7 and verse 8. These two chapters have confused a lot of believers. A lot of believers. Go to them and you speak about these chapters, they will tell you stories. Because they don't understand this first part, that God is spirit, that's number one. But we also have to worship him in spirit. So when we approach God, we must approach him in spirit, not in our flesh, in spirit. These chapters are about how to worship God. They are not trying to explain how confused you are. They are just showing you, you should worship God in spirit. Now, let's go. Romans chapter 7, reading from verse 13. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Did that which is good then prove fatal, bringing death to me? It's talking about the law here. The story is continuing like from last week. You'll remember last week we said the law is not bad. The law is good. But then the question is here, did that which is good then prove fatal or bringing death to me? Certainly not. It was sin working death in me by using this good thing as a weapon, in order that through the commandment sin might be shown up clearly to be sin. That the extreme malignity and immeasurable sinfulness of sin might plainly appear. So the law is not sinful. But sin took advantage of the law. We discussed this last week, so I'm not going to dwell on that. Verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual. But I am a creature of the flesh. Now look at this now. You must understand certain things. He says, but I am a creature of the flesh. I am carnal. I am unspiritual. What is he talking about here? Is he talking about the same person that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 is talking about? Because he says, I am a creature of the flesh. I am carnal. I am unspiritual. This is now the opposite of what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 said. Which says, I'm a new creature. This is completely the opposite. So, what is he talking about? He's talking about his flesh. He's not talking about his spirit. His spirit is still what? Holy and complete and acceptable before God. But whatever we try to do, because remember we're talking about serving God through the law or serving God through the spirit. Two covenants. The first covenant, they were serving God through the law. The second covenant, we are serving God through the spirit. So he says now, when I try to serve God according to the law, I fail completely because I have to use what? My flesh. And my flesh, unfortunately, it is carnal. It is unspiritual. The law is what? Spiritual. Therefore, I fail to keep the standard of the law in my flesh. But the moment I kick into the spirit, in who I am in Christ, in the spirit, immediately I'm spiritual. So that's the first thing that you must understand here. The word says, having been sold into slavery under the control of sin. Is your spirit under the control of sin? No. He's talking about your flesh before. Verse 15. For I do not understand my own actions. Oh, you'll hear this so many times. You hear people saying, you must understand that I'm still a human being. You know, that which I want to do, I don't do. That which I don't want to do, I do. That's the issue that you sit with. But now let's read here. For I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled, bewildered, I do not practice or accomplish what I wish, but I do the very thing that I loathe, which my moral instinct condemns. Now, if I do habitually what is contrary to my desire, that means I acknowledge and agree that the law is good, morally excellent, and that I take sides with it. However, it is no longer I who do the deed, but the sin, the principle, which is at home in me and has possession of me. What are we talking about here? Is he talking about his spirit? No. He's talking about his flesh. In the flesh. We fail. We cannot serve God in the flesh. We can only serve God in the spirit. In my flesh, I may still find myself not doing that which I want to do. I may still find myself failing to do what I want to do. But I must know that that is flesh. But then I don't approach God in that way. I'm not going to go to God and say, God, you know what, how do they do it? You see, I'm even doing it incorrectly. You don't do that with God. You don't say, God, forgive me and all that. You are forgiven. Is it this way? Oh. Yeah, that's it. You don't go to God like that. When you go to God, you go to God knowing that you are holy and accepted before Him, and you worship Him in spirit. And you'll see the last scripture that we'll read here. It says, let's go with boldness to the presence of the Lord, knowing that our sins have been taken care of. So I don't go to God like this. That's the flesh. That's not me. I must understand that. Verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells within me. Ah, tell me something. We just said you have the Spirit of Christ inside you, in your spirit. Can you see that we are not talking about your spirit here? We're talking about your flesh. Verse 18 is critical. I think I should say that. Verse 18 is very important. Verse 18 says, for I know that nothing good dwells within me. That is in my flesh. So he explains it completely. Know that when he's talking about all these failures, he's not talking about his spirit. He's talking about his flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. That is in my flesh. I have the intention and urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out. Where? In my flesh. For I fail to practice the good deeds I desire to do, but the evil deeds that I do not desire to do are what I am doing. Where? In my flesh. Now, if I do what I do not desire to do, it is no longer I doing it. It is not myself that acts, but the sin principle, which dwells within me, fixed and operating in my soul, not in my spirit. Okay? So I find it to be a law or rule of action of my being that when I want to do what is right and good, evil is ever present with me, and I am subject to its instant demands. For I endorse and delight in the law of God in my inmost self. Because remember, the law is pure and holy. It's spirit. And we said we are as well. What spirit? We are holy. We are pure before God. So in our spirit, man, we love the law. We rejoice in the law. Because the law actually doesn't demand anything wrong from us. Anything that we cannot do. Because we have achieved the standard of the law. Through Jesus Christ. That is in our spirit, man. But in our flesh, we are failing dismally. So if we keep on dwelling on what we do, what we are in the flesh, unfortunately, what is going to happen is we'll stay in that sin until shame, until we go to be with the Lord in heaven. Because we're not taking time to realize who we are before God and approach God the same way, the way we are before him. Let me start afresh from verse 22. For I endorse and delight in the law of God in my inmost self with my new nature. But I discern in my bodily members. Ah, this is interesting. But I discern in my bodily members. Do you see what he's talking about? My bodily members. Flesh. But I discern in my bodily members, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh, a different law or rule of action at war against the law of my mind, my reason, and making me a prisoner to the law of sin that dwells in my bodily organs, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh. Remember this thing now. I said to you earlier when we started, when we got born again, God took the old nature out of us. But the old nature had trained our bodies to act in sin. So then what happens when then the old nature is taken out, but my body has got behavior? So the body will continue acting how it was trained before. So it will want to do the stuff that it used to do before. Even though the force that was taken out of it now is no longer there. Remember the story I told last week about the car. That if I take my foot off the accelerator and put the car in neutral, that car will eventually come to a halt. To a stop eventually. Because there is no longer force that is applied to make it to move. So now, when God took the old nature out of us, He removed it. We were in motion in the direction of sin, committing and living in sin. So in other words, we will continue in that motion. But the thing that drove us now is taken out. So what will be the implication then? Eventually we will come to a point where the movement towards that sin is going to end. But we can quickly have this stop when instead of just taking the pedal off, then we start what? Applying the brakes. Do you understand that? So somebody will take the foot off and say eventually this will stop. But I can also apply brakes. And when I apply brakes, the car will come to a stop like quickly. Now the nature, the old nature is taken off. But our bodies were trained by the old nature, so our bodies still want to do the stuff that we wanted to do. So now we need to now renew our minds. There's a new man here now. So we must take what is inside the new man and bring it to our minds. Because the body is driven by the soul, the mind. So we must start feeding our minds with who we are inside. I'm the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. I am holy and acceptable before God. I am blameless before God. Just like Jesus Christ is, so am I in this world. The moment I start confessing that, I am holy before God. God loves me exactly the same way that He loves Jesus. What is happening? I am changing my mind. And as I'm changing my mind, all of a sudden, my body starts listening. Oh, you are holy now. Oh, okay, because you are holy. All right, so what is going to happen? What I used to like doesn't look holy at all. So now, what is holy? What is holy? What is holy? And then I'm start teaching my body what is holy, and my body start gravitating. What is holy? Holiness just means separation. Being separated unto the Lord. So now it says then I'm getting to be separated unto the Lord. So the moment I start separating myself to the Lord, what will separate me to the Lord now? It would be the time that I spend with the Lord, the efforts or what I use my time for and my abilities for. If I start using my body now to serve the Lord, that is now going to help me to start doing what? Becoming more and more like what the word says I am. So it's a process. It doesn't happen just like that. But we need to understand that once we are aware of who we are, then we are going to be able to follow through with this part. Verse 24. Remember from verse 18, he was telling us that that was his flesh. He was talking about his flesh. So when he says here in verse 4, now he says, "Oh, unhappy and pitiable and wretched man that I am." Is he talking about his spirit? No. He's talking about his flesh. "Who will release and deliver me from the shackles of this body of death?" Verse 25. This is powerful now. Verse 25 is your answer now. "Oh, thank God. He will, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then indeed I, of myself, with the mind and the heart, serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So who will release me from this body of death? Who is it? It's Jesus Christ. And then check chapter 8, verse 1. This is where we're aiming off today. Remember, there was no chapter and verse with the original documents. So now that we're saying it's chapter 8, it doesn't mean that a new story starts. He's continuing on the same story. Then he says now, "Therefore," check this out, "therefore, there is now no condemnation." Wretched, pitiable man. He's talking about his flesh. But then he says, Jesus Christ has released me from this body of death. And then he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." So you are not condemned for what happens in your flesh. Check that. No adjudging, guilty of wrong. For those who are in Christ, check that out. In means positionally. Positionally. There are two words that are very important here in this verse 1. It's in and after. In and after. Those two words are very, very important. In is talking about positionally. The word says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are positionally in Christ." Are you positionally in Christ? Yes. You are in Christ. You are seated with Him in heaven. You are accepted in before God because of Christ. So then he says, there is no condemnation for you. Think about that. It's regardless of what is happening with your flesh. This is regardless of what is happening with your flesh. There is no condemnation for you. Okay? You belong to Christ? Then, one side, you are not going to be condemned. You don't belong to Christ? You're going to be condemned for your sins. That's it. That is how it works. So, people who are not born again, they get condemned for their sins before God. When they die, they will stand before God and they will have to answer for their sins because they did not accept the price that was paid for them. But we who have received Jesus Christ, we are not condemned before God. There is no condemnation. If there is condemnation, let me give an example. If I steal, God does not condemn me for stealing because Christ paid for that price. But do you think the South African law will not condemn me? The South African law will condemn me. They will throw me in jail. But being thrown in jail by the South African law, is that God condemning me? No. God does not condemn me because Jesus Christ paid for that sin. So He cannot condemn me. He cannot. He's not going to. Because He was satisfied with what Christ did. But I must understand that the South African law will still condemn me. Number two, my conscience will still condemn me. Because my conscience will say to me, "You took somebody's stuff that didn't belong to you. That's stealing." Is that God condemning me? No. That is my conscience. Conscience is all about what I've learned to be right or wrong. So now my compass, that tells me that this is right or this is wrong. You know what? That's my conscience. So my compass as a person will tell me that I've taken something that belongs to somebody else. So my compass is going to deal with me. So the Bible says we must understand that when we go before God and we worship Him, we are not worshiping Him in our bodies, in our flesh. We worship Him in this. In closing now. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That is Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38. The just shall live by faith. What is living by faith? It is receiving what God has done for you. Don't go before God and try and justify yourself by your actions. Receive what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. And as you are aware of that, your life is going to completely change. That's critical. Now, when it says that, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The subject there in Hebrews chapter 10 is the law. If you draw back to wanting to be justified before God by keeping certain standards, the Bible says here, God says, my soul has no pleasure in you. Remember when we started, the Bible says God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So when we go and we worship God, we don't worship God according to standards, keeping the law. Don't do that. The Bible says if you now try to attain your justification before God through keeping the standards of the law, what will happen is you are going to make His soul to be unpleased with you. But the just shall live by faith. Just receive what Jesus Christ did for you. And as you receive what Jesus Christ did for you, that is going to change you. It's going to make you into who you are supposed to be. Because your mind will be renewed. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. This is important. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The only thing that pleases God is faith. It's not your actions. It's faith in what God has done for you. Not you keeping a standard of the law. And this applies in every area of our lives. Because we've got standards. We say, you must do these things and God will do this for you. You do that, God will do that for you. If you go to God and say, God, I have done this, therefore you have to do this for me, that's not biblical. You find a lot of people that say, go to God and say, God, I have given so much, therefore you must bless me. That's not biblical. That's not faith. You are drawing back to the standards. You find a lot of people that say, God, I have lived the holy life, so God, you must bless me. Forget it. Forget it. You're approaching God now according to your standards. God is pleased by you having faith in what He did for you in Christ. Just receive what Christ did for you. That's what you have to build yourself up with. Change your soul by immersing yourself in the Word of God, understanding what is freely yours. This is the last scripture I wanted to read for you. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 22 and 24. Verse 22. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. Flesh or no flesh. What's happening with our flesh or what is not happening with our flesh? We should forget about that. It says here, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. Look at this now. I underline it. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. Your guilty consciences, in other words, you've done something wrong. Whatever that you may have done wrong. Your guilty conscience has been sprinkled. Do you believe that this is in the Bible? Do you understand that this is in the Bible? God is saying to us, we must ignore. Take your eyes off who you are in the flesh. Put your eyes on who you are in the spirit and your life will change. Stop judging yourself. Stop being hard on yourself, trying to correct yourself. Allow God to change you. He knows how to change you. Focus on who you are in the spirit. Let me start again. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. That's the word of God. Verse 23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. This is now important. Let us hold tightly. So in other words, there could be things that could be coming to tell you, you are not holy. No, you are a sinner. You know what? You're such a bad person, whatever. There could be things that are trying to say that to you. This verse is saying to us, hold tightly to the hope that you affirm, the hope that you are holy before God and accepted because of what Christ did. But this is very important. It says you must affirm it. So you must confess it. Confess it. You must say it. I'm the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. I am holy and acceptable before God. Affirm that. Confess the word. Confess what the word says you are. The devil may come and bring things, thoughts in your mind. Start just confessing what the word of God says about you. Hold firmly to the hope that you affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. And verse 24, let us think of ways. I like this one. I like it. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. No more laws. We don't have laws. So then we must find ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. We're no longer directed by the law now. There's no law that gives us standards to meet and all that. So then what do we do then? I must challenge you. I must find ways of motivating you to walk in love. Do acts of love. And as you do acts of love, what's going to happen? Your life is changing like this. As you do good works, your life is changing like this. God knows how to change us. He is not going to change us by laws. He's going to change us by his spirit. Abazalan, do you hear what I'm saying to you today? For me, it's so important that you understand this part. In conclusion now, God is not looking at your natural self because Jesus paid for all your failures. And he is pleased by faith only. He is pleased when you hold on to his promise about your spiritual life, even though your natural life differs. This is the end. I feel that the Lord is just pouring this word to us to help us understand that he's got better ways of changing our lives. Don't try to follow the laws and the standards that are set by religion to try and make you a holy person. God knows how to make you holy. He has already made you holy. The only thing that has to happen is you have to understand that you are holy. And when you accept that you are holy, your life will be completely changed. Praise the Lord.